This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland in the hizzy. We got to talk to Chris Velika. Now we got to. We are looking forward to talking to Chris Velika momentarily, talk college football with him, get his thoughts on Miami and Ole Miss tonight, and of course, Indiana and Oregon tomorrow. Are we sure about to happen as well? And then Crackman Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, coming up. Follow up to the Mike McDaniel firing, which, by the way, Dell Mind the Gap Radio on Twitter was like, oh, happy day, Mike McDaniel fired. Like, he was very excited about this. Tom Pelissero following up saying the Dolphins plan to hire a GM. Remember, they had the interim situation. Chris Greer was fired earlier in the year, and then Champ Kelly became their interim GM. Dolphins plan to hire a GM most likely in the next day or two before conducting their head coaching search, according to Pelissero, per sources. Four finalists for GM interviewing in person: Chargers Chad Alexander, Packers John Eric Sullivan, 49ers Josh Williams, and the interim GM aforementioned Champ Kelly. So,
yeah, some interesting reports. I'll follow up with a couple others here. Jeff Darlington, who we know well from ESPN, he covered the Miami Dolphins for many, many, many years. So he has a very long tweet on this. Just trying to give some context of they met on Tuesday, McDaniel and Steve Ross. And it sounds like McDaniel left there very confident. Steve Ross left there maybe not as confident that he was going to go back. He said that, now for the elephant in the room, I'm told the Dolphins have not yet been in touch with John Harbaugh or anyone in his camp. People close to the decision are adamant to this decision to move away from McDaniel is independent of Harbaugh's availability, and he backs up Pelissero that they will hire a GM before making a move on coach. Then there's Ian Rappaport. While with John Harbaugh available and Dolphins owner Steve Ross's ties to the family, he now looms as a key candidate for Miami, a reason to fire a coach with the thought that they could get Harbaugh.
These guys are just like TMZ gossipers of the NFL.
I like when there's ones like stories like this where it's very split. You're clearly not hearing that much from inside the building.
I shortchanged it because I forgot John Harbaugh being ousted by the Ravens was the seventh. So this is now eight with Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. Eight. A quarter of the league has head coach openings right now, this moment.
It's wild.
Two GM openings with Atlanta and Miami. Eight head coach openings: Arizona, Atlanta, Cleveland, Las Vegas, the Giants, Tennessee, Baltimore, and Miami.
And Evan Abrams from Action Network following up with a couple stats here. How about Mike McDaniel? 7-22 straight up versus teams with a 50% win percentage or higher during his time in Miami.
Wait, say that one again.
McDaniel 7-22 straight up versus teams with a 50% win percentage or better.
Oh, you know, basically
winning teams, right? Yeah. Worst head coach on money line versus teams above 500 since 2022.
Say that one again. Worst.
He was the worst head coach on the money line versus teams above 500 since 2022.
Oh, what you just said, basically.
Yeah,
but the worst.
Since 2022 is a key cutoff though, because Eberflus was before him.
Right. This on the heels of Tua. You see that report about Tua the other day? He was asked about, hey, would you end up on another team? He goes, that'd be dope.
Who answers that way?
That'd be dope. Like, really? That'd be dope?
Like, don't you have to do like toe the company line a little bit, right? Like, I'd be happy with whatever happens. You know.
Trip Tepper, if the Dolphins hire Chad Alexander for GM role, bet John Harbaugh to be the Miami head coach immediately, he says. Brian Schaefer, another coach, gets fired somewhere. Captain Dave Ross is in his office checking off all the coaches that got fired so far and has a huge grin on his face. Yeah, this is my joke about Dave. Dave loves this stuff. Dave Ross, our beloved friend Dave Ross, co-host of By the Books, which he does with Jensen Lewis every morning. He always prefaces by saying, no one likes to see them lose their jobs. No one likes to see anyone lose their jobs. But then he's glorious. He loves this.
You know what I'm immediately picturing now? Yeah. I don't know if you remember this scene, but Billy Madison, there's like Steve Buscemi is like his old like bully from high school, and he calls up and apologizes, and like they get off the phone. Buscemi turns over to like a whiteboard or something that he has of like, it's like list of people to kill or something, and he crosses off Billy Madison's name. I'm just imagining Dave Ross just crossing off head coach's name above his couch.
Schefter, Miami's decision to move on from Mike McDaniel is the first of what should be several major offseason decisions. Dolphins already have Tua guaranteed $54 million in 2026. On March 15, $3 million of his 2027 salary becomes guaranteed. Cutting him outright would result in $99 million in dead money. Earlier this week, Tagovailoa said it would be dope to get a fresh start. There it is. Dope. In the words of Belle Biv DeVoe.
Did you ever see the video? Because I never actually did. I just read the quotes like this.
For Belle Biv DeVoe, that girl's dope?
No, Tua.
She's dope?
For Tua.
Oh, no. I didn't see the video.
Like,
I just
this is always one of those. I'm like, I'd like to see, like, hear him say this. Like, is it really that damning? Like, that comes across really bad.
It's like a combination of I don't care and
yes, combination of I don't care and here. Someone get me out of here.
That's right. A combination of I don't care and I hate it here.
Like, even if you're the Montreal Alouettes, someone get me out of here.
A Buddhist man with a great tweet. He says, did you catch the part of the Tim Murray interview where he goes, you know, the Wizards, they live in that mediocrity land. Kelly knows so more about that than we do. That's great.
I was like, you know what, Buddhist man? I took it the way Tim meant it and not that way, but it's a lot funnier that way.
Oh my God. That's awesome. All right. But before we do, are we sure? You made a great point off air too about these college football games tonight, because last week, remember, we had that, you know, we're so close to the sun on these games. We're staring at the lines all week. And then right before the Texas Tech game last week, yeah, how all the money started flowing in on Texas Tech. Couldn't have been worse, right? That money. But how right before game time, if they flipped to the favorite, I wonder if we'll get one of those tonight and tonight or tomorrow night.
Yeah,
these move between now and kickoff.
Yeah, we were talking about off air. Danny reminded us the movement we saw with Miami and Ohio State, and it kind of then settled in between. I'm fascinated by this. I don't know. I become such like a little kid again, where we're like, we forget. It's like you always say, it's almost like there's millions more people betting than there were, right? But like, yeah, nowadays, now that we're this long into it, it feels like there's only a few days a year where you really see that wild public movement. And yeah, last week, like, I was shocked by that. We started that show and Oregon was a 2.5-point favorite. They closed the dog.
Jonathan Doe. I've said this to him already, Jonathan. He goes, tell Kelly it's versus, not verse. Huge pet peeve that many are doing nowadays. Where in the hell did this come from?
I don't really know.
I used to tell Danielle that too. Danielle Avar.
Really?
Yeah, I used to be like, it's versus, not verse. Huh. Gee, you kids. You kids. Huh. And your verse. Like Jared Verse is involved in all of it. All right, you ready to do it? Are we sure? Let's do it.
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
Estamos seguros? Creo que sí. What do you got?
I love the beat coming out of it. Like, I want to see what this show is about. Boom, you know? Like, boom, Rob, boom, you need to design a whole show of Are We Sure after. It's like the intro. Boom, boom. All right, Gil, are we sure?
Yes.
Well, Indiana will win the national championship.
Well, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I bet it happened at 10-1. So I'm leaning sure.
Would you bet it at plus 125?
I would not.
Okay. Are we sure Ole Miss can continue to win with this coaching situation?
I'm not. I think Miami wins tonight. And I do think, listen, yeah, it didn't matter last week, but now again, no Joe Cox, their tight ends coach and co-offensive coordinator, no George McDonald, their wide receivers and passing game coordinator. So now you are down to, on offense, on the offensive side of the ball, you're down to Charlie Weiss Jr. and the running backs coach, Kevin Smith. And again, I joked earlier. So if Ole Miss wins this, does Lane Kiffin go, oh, you guys got to come back too now? It's just so ridiculous. I think at some point it matters.
I think it does.
We can't
too.
Quantify what it will be. Yeah. You know, everybody's going to like do some confirmation bias on it tonight.
Right.
If they win, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter at all. If they lose, of course it mattered.
No,
you know,
but
who knows?
But we can sit here right now. Like, I'll say it. Maybe you don't feel the same way. Like, I think this is more of a pro Miami bet for me today than it is that angle. But like, if Ole Miss wins, I'm probably betting winner of Oregon, Indiana, still believing that at some point that has to matter. Like, you just can't have assistant coaches that are coaching one game and then going and doing recruiting for a whole nother program the next day,
it's
and then
ridiculous.
Trying to refocus on game plans.
It's ridiculous.
All right, are we sure the Seahawks are the most likely team to win the Super Bowl as the odds would indicate?
No, I'm not. I think the Rams are the most likely. I think it's a free-for-all. I don't think that, I mean, the Seahawks, by virtue of having the number one seed, so if you did it like, you know, by that mechanical way, yes, then I guess I understand why the odds are what they are, but I personally am not sure that will ultimately rule the roost.
By the way, I'm really ready for, like, play these games this weekend because the...
Sam Darnold still plays for Seattle, right?
Yeah, he does. Okay, he does. Yeah. No, it's fair. It's fair. Uh-huh. I'm really excited to get these games going, though, because the AFC, just, like, there's a tack on every team. Whatever team you pick, someone's like, oh, like, their schedule's ridiculous. The quarterbacks are whatever. Like, you can poke holes on all of them.
Everybody's got a flaw.
You can poke holes in all of them.
Everybody's got a flaw.
Okay, are we sure Matt Stafford will win MVP?
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it will happen.
Kind of just realizing as long as the Patriots don't win both of these awards, I should make out pretty well in awards betting.
Yeah.
All right. Are we sure more than three guys will receive first place votes for Coach of the Year?
Yes, I am sure of that.
Me too.
I believe Vrabel will. I believe McDonald will. And I believe Cohen will. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a fourth.
I think Ben Johnson does.
Yeah.
I think he gets one. Someone
might even go Shanahan.
I was just going to say, I think Shanahan's out of that now, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we, you know, like, I think there's a better chance Peyton gets one at this point than Shanahan.
I am sure that there will be three for sure.
Are we sure the Ravens are better off without John Harbaugh?
I'm not sure. Change isn't always easy, but they certainly seem to hit a ceiling, you know, whether it's his fault or not, that's up for debate. But I'm not sure they're better off without him. No.
I'm going to save this one for maybe a longer conversation later.
That doesn't mean
show.
I think a team that gets him is better for having him either.
Right.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see. Okay, are we sure Iga Świątek will win a Grand Slam?
Yeah. Yes, we are. French or not.
Would you bet two?
Two yesterday?
Two, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. That was an easy one. Are we sure, everybody?
The French and where else? Where else is it going?
She's going to win one of the hards.
All right.
Yeah.
Australian Open.
Australia or US? One of those. She's already got her Wimbledon now. Looking for the career slam with the Aussie. Coming back with Felica. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen. It doesn't get any better than this. Miami Ole Miss tonight, Oregon, Indiana tomorrow, and then doubleheader NFL, wildcard weekend Saturday, tripleheader Sunday. And then I'm kind of with Will Hill. The Monday standalone is a little weird. I kind of prefer the 3-3, but okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
More days of football.
I'll like it on Monday, that's for sure.
I think it's, I find it a little weird that we're doing all the college football like outside of Saturday, as we joked about earlier.
The Tyler Shoemaker tweet. Yeah. So great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't we play them on a Friday, on a Thursday and Friday, and we'll play the championship on a Monday. That's what we do. We get tweets beating the book. Jason H11, Kelly, you better be careful. That's a slippery slope you're walking with that estamos seguros about Iga. Don't go Ben Wilson on us. Thank you, Jason. Thank you for doing my bidding. Todd at Canarsie Born 65. If Miami beats Ole Miss, will Paul Feinbaum tell everybody that unless the SEC is playing other SEC teams, it just doesn't mean as much? Yeah, he might. 3Jack, H3131. Oh, it's going to be a fun tennis season if when Gil has to root against Iga. What happens if she wins the first two? It'll create an internal struggle with Gil versus himself. Versus, he says. Versus himself. Yeah. No, I mean, if she wins, listen, let's start with one. She gets the Aussie Open. That's a career slam. And then if she gets the French, then it's like, you know what? At that point, she can win as many as she wants.
I'm a little disappointed in Jason H11, actually, because that is the... I don't know that there's been a more easy go-to for me, and are we sure since we started
every time?
Than with an Iga Świątek question about whatever tournament she's playing, Grand Slam, whatever.
I do adore her. Brian M., with the Dolphins' current cap space situation, I'll take $1 million and coach the team next year and be the scapegoat. Get them a top five pick, be on my merry way. You two can rock, paper, scissors, best of three for picking OC and DC.
Okay. Well, I want to be OC then.
Sounds like a Dolphins fan. Ladies and gentlemen, he went to the University of Miami. So let's just establish that in advance. He is also objective about college football at the same time. I know that's difficult to hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time. We're going to try to do this with that as a preamble to this. It's Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Velika. That's F-A-L-L-I-C-A. He is the host of about 75 different versions of the Bear Bets podcast. I believe that's correct. Yes.
Yeah, that is correct. And that the 75th of those versions was recorded yesterday with Bruce Feldman. Bruce and the Bear kind of preview these couple of games. Hey, I actually had a tennis thought as well, and I ran it by you, and I think we were on opposite sides here. There were some end of year ranks over under totals. Oh. And I thought Coco Gauff, like, I guess under 3.5 would be the correct description for it. Like, is she going to hold off Amanda Anisimova, Mira Andreeva, Elena Rybakina? Like, there are a bunch of players that I think could wind up being ranked third. Like, assuming it's going to be.
Here's where the under over becomes difficult. You said over 3.5, meaning she would be 4 or worse. I think.
Yeah. That's what I. Yes. Yeah. That's what I meant. Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm confusing myself. Like, is she gonna finish third with that, her serve struggles and such?
She got to get the serve worked out. That's for sure. But if she can, 3 is definitely where she ought to be. I think the best of all those over-unders was Pegula under 6.5. Like, she's so consistent that I think she'll end up in the top 6. We're talking about final WTA rankings at the end of the year. For those wondering what the hell we're talking about.
I'm getting
about.
So angry, yes, I can't find them again. Weren't they at DraftKings I pulled them from last week?
DraftKings, yes. Yeah, they were at DraftKings.
Maybe they
pulled them down now that the season started.
Shout out to DraftKings for posting those. That's awesome that they do that. May they put up more tennis markets like that. Something that we don't really look at, rankings, as bettors necessarily. Okay, let's talk college football. Let's talk about tonight. Let's talk Miami Ole Miss. We should just go 2 segments and be like,
let's go Clippers. Start the Clippers
with 30 seconds left. I should be like, oh, college football tonight. What do you have? So Miami and Ole Miss, Canes are a 3-point favorite extra juice here at Circa with a total at 52. I saw some. So now at the beginning of the show, I just gave my thoughts in about 5 minutes on this game. One of the things I brought up was, your Canes, if I may say, since Chris went to Miami, they lost twice this year. They lost to Louisville. They lost to SMU. I mentioned Louisville. They turned the ball over 4 times. SMU, it was a flag fest. Everything seemed to go against the Canes. There was a few plays where, like, the refs picked up the flag, even on one of them, where it could have gone against Ole Miss. No calls on others. Everything was sort of against the Canes. But that was an ACC game. And I saw a social media clip of you on one of the Bear Bets podcasts, which I thought was pretty interesting, about the way your theory, or at least something you observed, about how refs in the ACC call the Canes versus now what we're seeing in the college football playoff. Can you explain that?
Yeah, if you look at Miami and their penalty totals in the regular season, they averaged over 7.5 penalties per game for nearly 70 yards in penalties, 65 yards per game in penalties. If you look at the 2 college football playoff games, they have been flagged 4 times for a total of 30 yards. So it's almost like, you know, the analogy when you get out of the NCAA and when you get out of conference play and, like, the NCAA tournament comes and officials aren't necessarily familiar with you and looking for things that you may see week in and week out by covering teams, or, like, you get out of conference play and, like, teams aren't used to seeing you. Like, that, I think, kind of matters. And that has been a massive, I don't want to say advantage for Miami, but it's an older team and they haven't been flagged, which is good. The officials have let them play for the most part in all of these games. I mean, there were in a couple of flag fests, but the fact that Miami has not been shooting themselves in the foot with stupid penalties. You mentioned the Louisville, the SMU game. People have kind of brought up the SMU game as a kind of a comparison for what Ole Miss could do tonight. Yes, I get it. But if you look at the numbers in that game, Miami had the ball for 37.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they shut SMU down. It was just the 12 penalties, including that late personal foul that they called, that would have ended the game, and a couple of turnovers. So, like, I think if Miami were to get that that type of play tonight, I think they'd feel pretty good about that. But, yes, Big Ten officials tonight, and my colleague Jeff Schwartz has said Big Ten officials do not like to call holding penalties. So maybe, again, we may see a flag-free type of game. But if they don't like to call holding penalties, that might hinder Miami's best weapon in this game, in their defensive line.
That's such an interesting analysis on conference referees being familiar, conference officials being familiar with maybe a tendency that they look for to throw a flag, and now the conference that you're not in other words, non-conference that you're in, officials not necessarily looking for that kind of stuff. So, okay, I'm going to assume you're on the Canes. You can further break down what you want. Total's 52. I'm curious, do the Canes lean on Fletcher tonight in a way that perhaps you lean under? Break this whole thing down for us.
Yeah, I played two things that I did not play aside because I have so much liability to and exposure to Miami futures that if anything, I'm going to take some Ole Miss plus 3.5 in the game as a bit of a hedge. But I did play two things. I did play under in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. I do play that for real as well. And I played Miami over 144.5 rushing yards for the game. Those were the two things that I played tonight. I do think you're going to see Miami utilize the best defense is your offense and get Fletcher involved, get Pringle involved, get Marty Brown involved, get all those backs involved to try and help the defense by keeping Ole Miss off the field. And I think they have the ability to do that. The Ole Miss defense has given up big chunks of yardage at times this year. The defensive backs really don't tackle very well. So I do think we have the potential to see a lower scoring game, certainly in comparison with what Ole Miss has been used to. But look, anything can happen. If Chambliss breaks contain and Miami's ends can't contain the edge, he might be able to make some plays. I mean, he's done that all year. He's certainly capable. He got some great wide receivers, and Lacy's a great back. So I think if both teams play their best game, I do think Miami wins. And I've caught some slack for that. And basically what it means, if both teams play their best games, that means Miami's offensive and defensive lines are kind of dominating the game and everything's branching out from that. So that's the way I view it. One other thing that I kind of kicked around yesterday was, is this maybe the game that the Ole Miss coaching carousel drama, circus, whatever you want to call it, kind of rears its ugly head? The first two teams that Ole Miss played in the playoff were Tulane and Georgia, two teams that they played in the regular season. They obviously had game plans in place, scouting reports fully broken down and during the playoff. And these games were kind of just about maybe doing a couple of tweaks here or there. I know the staffs are a little bit bigger now, but now you're starting from scratch and you have 5 days worth of time to scout and do a full game plan and a game breakdown with a little bit of a skeleton staff for Miami, which can beat you in a bunch of different ways and show a ton of different defensive looks. So I wonder if maybe this is the game where the fact that Ole Miss might not have its full staff kind of affects their prep, and maybe we see that on the field tonight.
Yeah, I've mentioned it a couple times already on the show today. I'm with you. I think at some point it has to, and I know you're buddies with Lane, but it's like, dude, you can't like agree to have the coaches there and then like, oh, wait a minute, we won. They forgot it's they. Let me take these two guys back. And I was joking earlier. I was like, if Ole Miss wins this, is it going to take Weiss back now after, you know, in the next game? So I don't know. More with Chris Velika, the Bear, at Chris Velika on Twitter. On the other side, we'll talk about Indiana, Oregon. And he mentioned he's in this Friday Invitational. We got to get an update on that next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Right now is the best time of year for bettors, and the all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action, football, hockey, basketball, and more. Use code VSiN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your final deposit, or excuse me, your first deposit, not your final deposit, your first deposit, for God's sakes, up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, get -105 on all pro football spreads every regular season game. Pardon me. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 and over. Terms and conditions apply. Bet responsibly. Sorry, Kelly Bidley. My voice is cracking.
You're okay. I got distracted by a golf tweet. First golf tweet of the year.
Oh, what do you got?
Scottie Scheffler's got a new driver, and he's hitting it 6 yards further.
Oh, awesome.
He needed a boost in his game.
He really did. It was really slacking.
That. Yep.
Antonio Pierce interviewing with the Giants.
Yeah.
Former Giants linebacker. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What a great linebacker he was when he was with the Skins.
Oh, so
free agent signing out of Arizona. Played 4 years, I think it was, in Washington. I was so angry when they let him. So Dan Snyder era-ish. Yeah, we'll let that guy go. We They always undervalued who they had and overvalued who someone else had. Anyway, I stray. Chris Velika, kind enough to join us once again. I buried the headline with Chris. Chris, you are in Arizona right now for the Fiesta Bowl?
Yes. Yeah, I had a great time last night catching up with some old friends and colleagues from Miami. I haven't gone out like that in a while, so it kind of took me a little while to wake up this morning, but it was great. Yeah.
Okay. And
hopefully the weather's going to clear up. Obviously the game's indoors, but tailgating festivities might be a little bit hampered by the rain currently that we're having.
Well, we can't have that. Before we get to your thoughts on college football again, you threw in the Friday Football Invitational, the Humans Invitational, as we like to call it around here. Where are you right now? Where do you stand in that?
I'm second. I'm second, and I don't think I'm going to be able to catch Chris Massaro. He had an unbelievable week. So it looks like Chris Massaro will be your 2025-26 Circa Friday Football Invitational. But I am second. I have the under tonight in Miami Ole Miss, and we'll see what happens. I feel good about my ability to finish second, which will be good, being that I won the inaugural one. I finished tied for third last year, and if I finish second this year, it's like the career podium grand slam of the Humans Invitational.
Wow. That's right. Juggernaut. All right. How about some hypothetical, before we get to your thoughts on Oregon, Indiana specifically, how about some hypothetical college football national championship matchup lines from DraftKings? Indiana, if it's Indiana-Miami, Indiana's a 5.5-point favorite. If it's Indiana-Ole Miss, Indiana's an 8.5-point favorite. Wow. If it's Miami-Oregon, Oregon's favored by 1.5. And if it's Ole Miss-Oregon, the Ducks are favored by 4.5. Those look about right to you, or is there one or two that stand out as, wait a minute, what's that?
Miami-Indiana seems a little bit high, especially knowing that the game is going to be played on Miami's home field, and you would expect Miami. And I know Indiana fans will travel for the penultimate moment in their program's history, but that does seem a little bit high Look, it was the same thing we talked about for between Miami and Ohio State. Like the way Ohio State was kind of dominated up front, and they really hadn't faced a front like other than Indiana. It would be kind of the same thing. You look at Indiana, and like you look at the defenses that they faced, and you look at how Ohio State really had a ton of success. I think that would be the same thing. But the matchup that I really would like if it's Miami, Oregon. And it's Oregon -1.5. Like I would be pushing all in on Miami. Like if you look at Oregon, they're down one of their better running backs, Davison, now with a shoulder injury. You look at their travel. Miami for the first round, to play Texas Tech, fly back again this week to Atlanta to face Indiana. If they win, fly back, and you'll fly all the way back across the country again to Miami. Fly back three like cross country diagonal trips and a few weeks, that's a toll. And again, on Miami's home field, you would assume it would be a majority of Miami fans. It would feel like one of those old Orange Bowl games where Miami was playing the Big 8 team. If it's Miami, Oregon, I would be very surprised if Miami were to lose that game. But I would lay the points. If it's Ole Miss versus one of those two teams, I would be on the side of the favorite there.
Interesting, because I'm an Indiana guy in terms of my bet position to win it all. But as I look at Ole Miss Indiana, I think to myself, yeah, but if Ole Miss beats Georgia and Miami back to back, are they really going to be 8.5-point dogs against Indiana?
I think you would get Ole Miss play, and it would be the rare instance of where the line actually comes down, and you might be able to get Indiana to -7.5.
Yeah,
that line might move a point in our favor, so that might be one of those rare instances where if you like the favorite, wait and see if the game gets bet down.
All right. What about tomorrow night? The Ducks and the Hoosiers with Indiana favored by 3.5.
Yeah. Down to 3.5 now. Okay. Cause I saw it was 4 at 4.5 at times.
Well, so it's circa anyway. It's 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That fits, because if you look at the first meeting, Oregon was a 7.5-point favorite on their home field. So, I mean, it's still, that's kind of a 7 or an 8-point adjustment from what we've seen in the regular season. The two things I played in this game, I played under 48.5 or whatever it is now. And I played on DraftKings. They had a prop Will either team score 30 plus points in the game? And I bet the no. I think if you look at both of these defenses in the first meeting, Indiana dominated them in the second half. Oregon couldn't sustain any drives. And at the same time, the only reason Indiana reached 30 points in that game was because of a couple of second half interceptions by Dante Moore to finally get them to 30. So again, I think you're going to see a kind of a lower scoring defensive minded game. I will say Oregon in that first meeting at home, Wyatt had a massive game for Indiana. He is now out. Stephen Daly is now out. So I wonder if this is maybe a game where Indiana's front against a good Oregon offensive line, obviously down at back, but they still have Whittington. They're good. But I always wonder in games like this, rematches, would you rather be the team that won the first meeting or the team that lost the first meeting? I think you'd rather be the team that lost the first meeting, only because I think you can find more areas to potentially improve on or do something different or say, hey, if we only would have done this, I think that makes more sense. So we'll see. My colleague Bruce Feldman disagreed with me on that yesterday. So in two different ways of looking at it. And the one other point that I brought up, and again, it always feels like there's an and but associated with Indiana, which is totally wrong because they've done absolutely nothing wrong this year. But I think there might be a little bit of an overreaction to like, oh my God, Indiana dominated Alabama. Look at that. It's probably because of a little bit of what Kirk Cignetti said, because it says our jersey says Indiana.
I agree.
And not LSU or Texas or Michigan. But look at the Alabama team we're talking about. This was a team we were talking about the last month of the year that they hadn't been playing great football. They got dominated in that same fashion by Florida State in the opening game of the year. So I think we shouldn't be surprised at the way that game went last week, and don't necessarily move Indiana up any more off of that. Like if you had Indiana rated as high as you did and you think they're going to blow out Oregon or beat Oregon, that's totally fine. But don't readjust your power ratings based on what they did against an Alabama team. It's kind of proven throughout the course of the year that team that really has a bunch of flaws.
Last thing, and this requires some talent evaluation from you. But I'm curious about Fernando Mendoza. I just saw a scouting report from somebody, and I really wish I could remember who it was. But they played the game, and I'm forgetting who the name was. But their knock on Mendoza was, the Heisman Trophy winner, was at the pro level, talking about will he be the first pick in the draft. Their knock was, they said everybody gives Mendoza credit for getting the ball out quickly and making quick decisions. But he read it as he actually doesn't read the field well. And so he knows that he doesn't read the field well. And so he gets it out quickly because of that. Do you agree with that? Would you pick him first in the draft?
Well, I do kind of, but it's not, I agree with it, but it's not really a knock. I mean, it's a credit to him in the sense that
you got to read defenses fully in the NFL, right? That's
right,
what he was getting
at. Right. And it's not a knock now, but it could be moving forward. Like a lot of these college offenses with the RPO, you're looking one side of the field, first read, get it out, let your receivers make the play. And that could be a problem at the next level. Like I don't necessarily think he is, like, again, you have to think back to what you're talking about with the number one pick in terms of quarterback quality. Like, is he like that historical quality of a good? I don't think he is. I don't think Dante Moore is either. And I think Dante Moore is probably going to come back to Oregon, and I think he should. So you and I think are in the minority with the way we look at quarterbacks going this high. I always like building your team with a defensive standout, pass rusher, linebacker, corner, all big offensive linemen. Like, I just don't think if you're the Raiders and you're picking number one and you absolutely need a quarterback, you can do anything else but take one of those quarterbacks number one now.
Chris, enjoy the game. Thank you so much, man.
We will try. Let's hope the sun comes out and we can have some fun pregame, and hopefully we got a good game tonight.
Chris gets quiet when Miami plays. He gets in that mode. Chris Velika, everybody, the Bear from Fox Sports. Appreciate him hanging with us twice. We'll come back, recap all the bets next.
A
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now, get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I thought it was over this cold, but apparently it's
still hanging around.
Well, whatever.
Hanging around.
I feel great, but whatever's in there is still hanging.
Yeah.
Hanging around. Phlegm.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is.
Phlegm.
Phlegm. You know what I mean? We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate it. Jason Stark, seems like late money coming in on Ole Miss.
Yeah, we are down to three most places. FanDuel with a 3.5. FanDuel Boyd with a 3.5. I'm seeing a lot of threes out there now, though.
He said, I'm planning on splitting my bet. Half unit Miami money line. Half unit -3. Think I should wait on the money line play? I don't know, Jason. I have no idea where this is going to go. I really don't.
I jumped in late last night on this at 3-1-20, because honestly, I thought if anything, we'd see this go more the Miami direction today. So yeah, I guess I have no idea either, Kill.
D-Gen Southern Gen. Speaking of 80s sports posters, Kelly, did you have the Bash Brothers poster growing up featuring McGuire and Canseco dressed up as Blues Brothers? Also, do you guys remember the NBA posters given away with Little Caesars Bigfoot pizzas in the 90s? I do not. I do not remember.
Oh, man. No, I did not have that first one. I do not remember the second one. But yeah, mine were mainly like early 90s. Man, what a lot of Cowboys on there, Gil. Definitely an Emmitt Smith poster was on the wall for sure.
It's so many random posters.
Michael Jordan. There was like probably three Michael Jordan posters up there.
I had a poster of the Reddings on the back of my. You even know what that is? Otis Reddings, two nephews.
Yeah.
I had a poster of the Reddings on the back of my door growing up. Posters were everything. There was Farrah Fawcett and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was just sticking to the sports ones. But yeah.
Vanity. You know what I'm talking about. You know what Kelly did say, though, D-Gen Southern Gen off air. Can I share with people, Kelly? Well, I'm too late now. I got to share it.
What did I say?
Kelly is growing his hair out.
Yeah. We're going to see.
So this should be interesting.
Hey, you want a little tight shot? So I took it up higher on the sides here, and it's just, we're going to go back, man. We're going to go back. How many times people showing the back of their head on air?
Okay.
Here,
but, you know. I like it.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see.
I want to see where this goes.
Guess what? We'll see how long it lasts. There's a very good chance I come in here in like 2 weeks and it's just like right back to normal. But man, even right now, the top of my head right now, Gil, this is probably the longest my hair's been in like years.
It's
not that long.
Thomas O'Toole says, get Gil a hot toddy, and tell Gil to fade the SEC money. Well, I'm already fading the SEC money. I'm on Miami. I'm with you there, Thomas O'Toole. Brett Liedtke, the legend 333, says large Miami ticket, 150-1, hedging off with a middle opportunity. Was it worth also looking at Indiana to win the title at plus money now? The Indiana part is not a clean hedge, though, is the problem, right? Because that could go a number of ways.
I've never had a hot toddy. I was going to ask you if you have, but I know you haven't.
You know how many times I said hottie tie when Ole Miss won the College World Series? You know how many times I said that phrase? Over and over and over. Mike Cam, 4561. Bear looked like the kid with a beanie propeller hat on with a ceiling fan in the background.
Yeah.
Great segment as always.
My fault. It's my fault. I thought that very quick in the first segment. I was like, you know, I should probably ask Chris to have him move to the side a little bit. And then, of course, Robin Moreno, being the great Rob Moreno that he is, of course, texted me basically that exact tweet.
That's phenomenal. The Auburnist, Gil's cold has alligator blood. I feel great. I thought it was done, but apparently there's something still lingering inside. Here are the bets, by the way. Tonight, I am on the Canes, -2.5. Again, I made this early in the week, -2.5, -136. I bought it down versus Ole Miss. And then, you know, who knows? It might get down to 2.5. I'll get the worst of that too, right? I got the worst of it in the Indiana game when I bet -4, -109. All right, then the second bet, by the way, we can't get the second bet right. The second bet is Indiana -3, -130. So I don't have a 3.5. I have Indiana -4, -109, Indiana -3, -130 on the Hoosiers because I got the worst of that, and then it came down. And I just, again, I feel like those are the two best teams in the country. There we go. There's a nice correction. I feel like we got the, thank you, Danny. Two best teams in the country are Indiana and Miami, and I'm sticking with that. And, of course, I've got Indiana to win it all at 10-1.
Let's go fighting Wes Reynolds.
Let's go, man.
Wes on the show tomorrow, too, from the game.
From the game. Wes following the Hoosiers around like they're the Grateful Dead.
Yes.
I love it.
That's exactly it.
NFL, which, by the way, got shortchanged today because we were all college football-ish. Bears minus one over the Packers for me. Jags on the money line versus the Bills. Niners plus 3.5 at the Eagles. And then the game that I'm most looking forward to, the bet that I'm most looking forward to, the Chargers plus 3.5 at the Patriots. I also sprinkled on the money line, Chargers at the Patriots. And again, with the Chargers, I have been steadfast about them all year, about them being way better than the market indicates. I mentioned that trend. By the way, Dr. Bob came out with his thoughts on that game this morning. I was thrilled to see that he has a strong opinion on the Chargers, which did not amount to a bet, but he is a strong opinion on the Chargers. I mentioned that with his that trend that I
he also did finally text me back. Bob on the show tomorrow.
There you go.
Bob's he just on the needs show a tomorrow. 1 hour reminder.
All right. Well, maybe he wants to talk about that game too. But one of the things I did mention earlier that I got from him was that for those wondering how rookie quarterbacks do in their first game against teams that have quarterbacks who have played in the playoffs before, in the case of Drake May versus Herbert, 7-20-1 against the spread are the rookie quarterbacks. So. And there's a lot of defensive matchups. The way that the Chargers play defense is not Drake May's strength, which I'll let again, if Bob chooses to talk about that game, I'll let him talk about it tomorrow. So it's that's the game I'm looking most forward to. That's the bet I'm looking most forward to. Also, I have Puka, Offensive Player of the Year at Kalshi, plus 1328. I got Bijan, Offensive Player of the Year at your standard sports books at 150-1. Brian Flores, Ravens next head coach at Kalshi at plus 488. And then I got Mike McDonald from early in the year, coach of the year at 9-1. Let's go, Mike McDonald.
Oh.
Let's go, voters. Chargers, Rams, Chargers, Niners, Super Bowl matchups at big prices. And then, as I mentioned, the Hoosiers to win the college football playoff. 10-1.
There's no Mike Vrabel. No Mike Vrabel, because I think I'm in a good position otherwise with McDonald and Liam Cohn.
And shout out to Aaron Schatz for giving us that whole awards discussion
Absolutely.
Yesterday. That was awesome.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, for me tonight on Miami with you, 3-120. Can get a better number now. A little surprise. There's some Ole Miss money coming in this morning. I'm really fascinated to see where this goes today, man. I'll be watching the odds all day. The NBA tonight, Mavericks. I laid 7.5. You can get a better number now. 6.5, 7. This number is coming down a little bit. It did get inflated after that game went to overtime last night, but man, I saw it shoot out to 8.5. I thought I needed to get in at 7.5. Terrible spot for the Utah Jazz. NFL spot. This weekend, Packers and Jags, Bears and Jags, both in teasers. Packers and Bears both up to 7.5. Jags on the money line. Eagles 3, minus 115 from the open. And Texans laying 3. By the way, real quick, I was listening to Bet the Process on my way to work today.
Rufus Peabody, Jeff
Rufus
Ma.
Peabody and Jeff Ma, yeah. You know what Rufus, his number was for Texans Steelers? Steelers is a 1-point favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Biggest one that jumped out to me there.
We had Cleve T.A. on for 1.5 minutes this morning. He's on the Chargers as well, plus 3.5 at the Patriots. That was his favorite bet wildcard weekend. Tim Murray was on with us. Miami Ole Miss under 26.5 first half, as he thinks Miami will lean on the running game tonight, but he's going with the first half under. He doesn't want to deal with the potential flurry at the end. He's also on Carson Beck, over 5.5 rushing yards. Love those kinds of bets.
I like it too. I'm probably joining him on that one.
Tomorrow night, he's on Oregon, Indiana, under 23.5 first half, again with another first half under. And he's on the full game under in that one between Oregon, Indiana as well, 47.5. Chris Felica, Miami Ole Miss under full game, 51.5 tonight. Miami over 144.5 team rushing yards. Then tomorrow night, Oregon, Indiana under 48.5. So he's on the full game unders on both of the semifinals. And then tomorrow night, Oregon, Indiana, either team to score 30 plus points in the game, no. So he's saying neither team will get to 30 tomorrow night, Oregon and Indiana.
I was wondering what the juice was on that. And then I'll have to.
We couldn't find it.
Oh, okay.
We couldn't find it is the correct answer.
You said DraftKings, right? Couldn't
yeah.
find it? Okay.
Yeah. Danny? Danny couldn't find it.
Okay. Because that's the one I think I'm going to tail him on. I think I'm going to tail Tim on that the Beck rushing prop, and I think I'm tailing Chris. I'd rather play that prop if the odds aren't ridiculous.
You're a tailor is what you are.
Yeah, college football, hell yeah.
Before we go, because Crack is coming up here at the top of the hour, we're not going anywhere. I'm talking to Crack for an hour, for God's sakes. But before Kelly goes, I just said the game I'm most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL is the Chargers and the Patriots, not only because it's a bet, but also just because I find it the whole fascinating thing about Patriots, easy schedule, Chargers, great defense to me. The game you are most looking forward to watching this weekend is?
Man, that's a great question. Any of the all three on Sunday are beyond fascinating. I'll go 49ers-Eagles.
Okay. I haven't heard that answer
from anybody. 49ers-Eagles. I think there's still there's a lot of assuming with this Eagles team going on. I want to see it. I want to see it.
Hopefully the Niners don't have quarterback injuries like they did last time they played a playoff game there in Philly.
Yeah.
We can actually do it at even strength or even-ish strength. Crack next, unscripted, exclusively on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Come on back.